All right, why don't we go ahead and start? I know people are still joining, but we're approaching 100 participants, so we can go ahead and start. Thank you all for joining this town hall, which is going to cover what we have been covering historically, litigation, real estate update, the status of distributions, claims, and the obvious questions from the investors as submitted in the portal, as well as those we see here to the best of our abilities as we see them. So with that, we'll go ahead and begin. Again, for those who are new to these town halls, I'm Louis DeLucia of Ice Miller. And on the video with me are some of my colleagues from Ice Miller, including Michael Ott, Allison Fiedler, and we will be participating through this process and this discussion. Also on the call and video is the representative of the liquidation trustee, Matthew Ward. And also we have from AIRN Management, both Rick Budd and Tommy Fierro. We also, I believe, have Alvarez and Marcel participating as well, but we will address issues as they arise, and they may or may not provide some helpful answers as well. But with that, this is the agenda for today in terms of what we intend to discuss. Like I mentioned, the introductions have now been done. We will go through the distribution, real estate updates, etc. But in terms of the distribution, I know that is a hot issue that everyone is obviously very concerned about. We are pleased to state that although we had had reported originally that we anticipated a 5% distribution to the investors in July, we were able to make, the liquidation trust was able to make a 12% distribution just this week. And that is going out in the process of being sent to the contributing investors. So that now brings us to an aggregate of 22%. It was partially paused, obviously, because we had some important litigation that we needed to nail down, document. There's obviously more litigation going on, but as we were able to resolve certain litigation and make progress on claims that were outstanding, we were able to carve out this additional bucket of cash to make a distribution, bringing us up to a 22% distribution to investors, 12% being done this week. So we're pleased about that. Obviously, some funds were reserved for non-contributing investors as required under the plan and law as they become allowed, if ever. So that's where we are on the distributions. We'll have answer questions you might have about it further in the discussion. Next is, I believe, the real estate update, which AIRN Management, Rick Budd, will provide.
Okay. Thanks, Louis. People can hear me all right, I believe, hopefully. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to run through and touch on each of the assets that we're continuing to management on your behalf. And this is our table of contents, but if we go to the next page, this is our summary of assets, and these schedules will be available as they have been in the past. So again, these are the specific addresses, what our approval status is, number of units, et cetera. A little more granular detail on each asset. If we go to the next page, please. Thank you. So the station, right, is our completed, one of our completed buildings in West New York. We have good news on a couple fronts. So our retail grocer, who, you know, is about to making great progress with their construction. They expect to be open by Thanksgiving of this year. As you recall, they have been paying the lease going back to earlier in 2024, but them opening their store will be a great asset to the building as well as to the area. We've also, as we also had potentially discussed, we've retained the CBRE firm with the intention of marketing the building. We are working with them now, and we would expect to be in the market sometime later in September. So as always, with every asset, we should all be rooting for lower interest rates, as that can just be a plus, right, to whatever our eventual trade value is for the building. But so we're excited to get that going, and we'll certainly have a more concrete update for you at our next town hall in October. Okay, the next slide. So the Grand, just a couple blocks away, also completed. We are now close to about 50% leased since we started year end 24. So that's going along, you know, very well from a leasing standpoint. We would like to see how much progress we can make between now and the end of the year. Likely will take us another 9 months to a year to get the building fully occupied and stabilized. But it's a beautiful building. We get a lot of compliments on it, and we're excited about the prospects, and more importantly for you, about the ultimate value. Next slide. So Ocean Del Rey, we did have another closing on our fourth unit down there at the end of June, I believe, maybe early July. So we have one unit left, which is, I know some people ask about condo sales. So this is our only condo that we have for sale. So the 1070 Del Harbor Drive, if anyone wants to see it or look it up or Zillow it or however you want to inquire. Compass is our broker. The market has been difficult down there, especially in this price range. So we are now continuing to have the building on the market. We're also looking at putting it into a rental program, especially as we come into the fall and winter. Some of the rental rates can be quite attractive. However, we're not taking it off the sale market. So it'll be a simultaneous effort to see where we can move this last property. The Metro construction going on in West New York. So site work is being done. Concrete is now being poured in the foundations. We are moving ahead. We have not finalized our construction financing just yet, but any construction financing will require us to contribute our equity first. So there isn't anything being delayed at this point, but we're making good progress. We also are happy to report that the contract for construction here is actually going to be a little bit less than on the Grand building that we did next door. So that's certainly very, very positive news. But the, you know, the foundations being done, certainly a big step. Next slide. So Philadelphia also, many things going on, as we've discussed before. We've been working with the JLL firm. We have term sheets for construction financing that we are working on. We are also with the Volumetric firm, who would be our co-developer and co-general partner in the deal, and also the GC on the deal. We're working closely with them. So we hope to have something positive, or I should say more definitive, by the time we meet next time. We continue to believe the market here is quite strong, and our position in the market is going to be very strong by the time we'd be ready to have units being occupied. There are a number of positive developments Philadelphia Navy Yard just announced another project 2 miles from us, over $1 billion and 9,000 jobs. So again, that along with what's going to be going on at the sports complex is going to be very positive, you know, for this project. And so we're very excited about it. Next slide. So this just positions our project where you can see where we are vis-a-vis the sports complex and what's going to be happening there, and then as well as the new Navy Yard complex, which is less than 2 miles away. So we feel we're in an excellent spot. Next slide. So our marina in Fort Myers, we're continuing to do the build out. Bellingham Marine, we're over 50% now completed from the standpoint of what they need to complete before starting the actual construction in the water. That will start up in September. We're still on target to finish the finished product in the first quarter of 2026. Again, everything seems to be on track for us. There's been a lot of interest. We are working with the CBRE firm in Florida, who will be helping us with the upland piece, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But their marina team also is had a lot of interest for our completed product. So there isn't going to be any transaction before we complete. And but obviously we're excited about the interest, and but we'll gauge and see where we are once the operations can start. We'll have more information websites that we'll share with you as it opens. People start making marina reservations months in advance, so we're getting prepared for that. We think we're in good shape here. Next slide. Guttenberg, we have been had a back and forth, I want to say love hate affair with the town. If the town's listening, and it's been mostly love, but we do have an executed developers agreement now, and we are now looking at a couple of different options. One would be to sell the property. The second piece would be to develop the property ourselves. So we also got a demo permit. So we are, regardless of sale or build, the demo is going to go forward for the older structure that's been there, which has to go anyway. So it'll make it easier if someone's going to buy, which obviously we'll address as part of their sales price, or if we're going to build. Tony Ulysses on our team has been working very closely with the architect and potential GC to value engineer the project and see whether we all believe that it makes sense to build either condos or apartments for the 63 units. So we'll have a further update for you, obviously, in October. Next slide. All right, so we're back in Fort Myers now for the upland piece. As we said, we have our approvals. We are working, you know, with CBRE to see if they can assist us in finding a buyer or a development partner. And it could be a buyer or a development partner for the upland piece, or it could be for the marina. So we're juggling a few balls in the air there, but you know, it'll all be good. We've also, I think we announced last time, again, I forget about the timing every couple months, but the, our Joe's Crab Shack lease with Landry's, they bought out their lease, which was positive for us since it was an underwater lease in an underperforming restaurant. We now have a number of parties that have contacted us in the last 2 weeks, prospective, you know, restaurants to come into that location. So nothing concrete's happening yet. Should never use concrete during a construction discussion. So I apologize for that. But anyway, that's where we are as the process with CBRE just started. And the offering memorandum has only been out for the last 10 days or 2 weeks. Next slide, please. So Fort Lauderdale, both the North Tower and the South Tower, we now have our final approvals on the North Tower, and we were waiting for the FAA approval, which we did get. And so that's good news. We're now working with the Berger Realty firm down there. The market's been very slow. There have not been sales transactions for, you know, commercial development properties in Fort Lauderdale. There have been some construction sites starting, so which is an excellent sign. And again, people are, especially on high rises, the interest rates are incredibly sensitive. So again, we're all rooting for rates to come down for a variety of reasons. Ours are just totally selfish, but as rates come down, we will see more activity for both the North Tower and the South Tower. Next slide. I think that may be it on slides. Okay, great. Thank you, Lois. Back to you.
Thanks, Rick, very much. So in addition to the real estate, which, you know, obviously is progressing wonderfully, we have a number of litigations in addition to the recoveries we've already generated that are ongoing. Just by, again, for those who may be new and haven't heard this before, litigation is an active process. We're litigating with a number of parties. A lot is going on. There's a lot that's confidential. There's a lot of litigation strategy that cannot be shared on these calls, because I can tell you from my quick review of the attendees, we may have one or two representatives of defendants on the call listening in. So it is a public forum, so we are very careful into what we say on these litigations. And so you may be a little frustrated by not getting granular detail, but that's on purpose because we don't want to disclose it. But the proof is in the pudding, as they say. We've had substantial recoveries that have led to now well over 113 million in distributions. We have substantial litigation recoveries coming forward. But let me tell you what we have. We have 23 active litigations. There are many that are in court with discovery and ongoing in regular litigation. There are several that are in confidential mediations. And then there are some that litigation has not actually been commenced yet, but we are in settlement discussions with. So with that quick summary, I'll turn it over to Mike Gott for the first two discussions regarding the claims and the claims motion.
We've been continuing to have discussions with the unsecured creditors who under the plan are entitled to payment in full before investors get any cash. So since we've made distributions to investors, we have reserved cash to pay their claims. We have been quite successful in that process. To date, we've disallowed or subordinated approximately $97-98 million worth of unsecured claims, including recently up to $32 million in claims that were filed by U.S. Construction and another $43 million in claims by other claimants. We are still in the process of negotiating resolutions or, you know, turning to litigation with the remaining claimants who we've already filed claim objections against. We are hoping to resolve those as expeditiously and efficiently as possible. We did, however, seek to extend the deadline by which we can object to claims. This was done purely as a measure of protecting ourselves. There are a number of parties that we are currently negotiating against and other matters who have proofs of claim. And so to ensure that we don't lose any rights, we sought an extension of the deadline by approximately 6 months from August 20th of this year to February 20th of next year. This should have very little effect on investors whose claims are the contributing investors whose claims are already allowed. And again, most of the unsecured claims have been resolved. This is just an effort to ensure that we retain the flexibility that we need to resolve things as efficiently and with as little expense to the estate as possible. So we are going to continue to work to resolve those claims and get them taken care of so that it frees up cash that can then be distributed to to investors. Lewis?
Thanks, Mike. So in addition to the claims process, which as you understand, unsecured claims under the waterfall set forth in the plan get paid ahead of you. So to the extent claims are not allowed and or disallowed and therefore not entitled to payment, there's greater availability for distribution to investors. And that's what the outcome of what Mike just discussed is that 90 plus million dollars of work that has generated a greater leverage for you to be paid out of the available proceeds. So continuing in that effort against affirmative claims against others, we have a pending litigation against accounting firms, law firms, banks. We have ongoing aggressive negotiations with celebrities and with other promoters and advertisers of the securities, and those we hope will generate recoveries. So quickly, in terms of highlights, we've had recently within the last period since we spoke at the last town hall, some of these developments, which included a decision by Judge Sherwood on a motion to dismiss our complaint against Whipley, an accounting firm. We succeeded in that action by beating the motion to dismiss, except for one count, which was on the aiding and abetting securities fraud. We continue to work on that litigation. In fact, moments ago, the Whipley answer to our complaint was just filed while we were on this call, ironically. Liquidation trust motion to dismiss the McFillin counterclaims. McFillin is a party who was named and identified in the U.S. construction litigation case, and McFillin has filed some counterclaims against the estate, the trust, I should say, and that counterclaim has been answered, and we are proceeding with litigation against McFillin. Both of these individuals are anticipated to have the capacity to pay material settlements and or judgments for the benefit of the trust and you. Motions to dismiss were recently filed by Valley Bank and Bank of America. From our last phone call you may recall that we shared with you that the trust had filed substantial claims against Valley Bank and Bank of America. Both of them, as scheduled, filed motions to dismiss. The objections to those motions to dismiss the complaints are due on the 19th and 12th of September, which we, the trust, are preparing and will be filing, and there will be oral argument in October on those motions. So those are material litigations that are proceeding. In addition to that, we, as you may recall also from prior town halls, that we are litigating against Cipolla, an accounting firm, for $4.6 million in fraudulent transfers and other claims. And they filed a counterclaim as well, and we are proceeding with litigation there and filed an answer as to those counterclaims. So we're looking at hopefully getting into mediation with Cipolla as well. All right, next slide. So in terms of the pending litigation, we have, as I indicated, a number of lawsuits, an aggregate of 23 in total, as I mentioned. We have actions against accounting firms such as Van Doon, which is going into mediation, Whipley, which we hope to go into mediation, but is in discovery and litigation right now, Cipolla, which we believe should go into mediation. Then, of course, we have banks, Bank of America, Valley Bank, and we are considering others. Law firms, there is litigation against certain counsel who received, we believe, fraudulent transfers, and there were active mediations with certain law firms we cannot get into that are highly confidential, but have, we believe, subject to documentation, resulted in further substantial cash receipts for the trust, which will go into future distributions. construction companies and or related litigation against affiliates such as U.S. Construction McFillin. As you heard, we'll get more into the U.S. construction settlement momentarily, but that litigation against McFillin is continuing. Advertisers, again, Media Effective. You may recall we received a $4.9 million recovery against Media Effective. We have appealed the Judge Sherwood's opinion on securities and aiding and abetting under New Jersey law. That is pending before the district court. Media Effective, you may recall, was vital and received tens of millions of dollars in fees for purposes of furthering and advancing the sale of securities. And that is part of the argument for the appeal. Insider promoters, we are in discussions beginning the mediation process with certain of these insider promoters, including Harrington, Cartosian. These are folks who were in, what we mean by insider promoters are people in NRIA for a period of time that have worked at the company, promoted the securities, and received commissions. Those mediations we hope to go forward, and some of the insider promoters we've also settled with. Just for a moment, back to Media Effective, the State of New Jersey Bureau of Securities has sought to file an amicus brief in that appeal as well to support the trust position on the aiding and abetting claims as to Media Effective. We're waiting for the district court to rule on that. We have ongoing active mediation with the litigation regarding construction against DMR, three litigations against them, one against an entity affiliated with Echeverria. Those litigations are also proceeding and in mediation. We have sued Deepit Anand about the same time we sued Valley Bank and Bank of America. Deepit Anand and many of his affiliates. There were many affiliate entities. Their answer is due shortly, and we will be going into litigation with them. We were sued, meaning the trust was sued in state court on allegations that the trust or AIRN management authorized or directed a contractor to go onto the premises of a buyer of the property from NRA. It is flatly disputed, and that litigation was removed to the bankruptcy court where it is currently pending. And the plaintiffs in that action, which is now in the bankruptcy court against the trust, sought to remand it back to the state court where they sued us initially. We sought to dismiss the case. Judge Sherwood denied both motions, but wants to hear the litigation and gave some strong admonitions to both parties, hoping that this will be resolved. All right, next. So we have, as you heard earlier, substantial settlement discussions with multiple parties. An example of one such settlement that just resulted and enabled us to make this 12% distribution in part was the USC settlement. It's really US construction, US development, and others. That settlement resulted in the waiver of over $55 million in claims that they asserted, a complete release of the trust. We are going to get fixed payments of actual cash of $4 million. And then on a number of projects that they have ongoing in Florida and elsewhere, we're getting a percentage share of the distributions from those projects to the trust for your benefit over time. That could be over a period of years. So it is what we believe to be a settlement favorable to the investors. Next. So we are, as I mentioned, we are in active discussions with a number of these entities, parties who we believe have the capacity to pay material recoveries and or judgments against them should there ever be one, Bloomberg, Bill O'Reilly, and their affiliate entities, as well as certain law firms. And there are a number of miscellaneous, smaller fraudulent transfer actions that are being contemplated. Next, Mike. So these are active mediations. If you see something like law firms, that's because it's highly confidential. But obviously what we believe is that the cost of those mediations and litigations are substantially less than the recoveries therefrom. So they're net positives to the trust. for example, against the law firms. Same is true with insider promoters, and we believe many of these will be documented and settled shortly, we hope. All right, Mike, you want to cover this one?
Sure. We've discussed this during the last several town halls. U.S. Department of Justice has a separate restitution claim against Nick Salzano and Art Scutaro for the damages that they inflicted upon investors. There's a whole separate process and a whole separate proceeding for that. We have no real connection with them, no real coordination with them. The person to contact if you have any questions about the criminal restitution proceedings is Shirley Estreicher, the Victim Witness Program Manager for the U.S. Department of Justice. Her information is here. Again, we will be posting this presentation online along with the recording from the presentation on the Omni website. So if you come back and you didn't write this down now, you can find that information there in the future. We don't really expect them to recover much through the restitution action. They're primarily allowing us to proceed with the claims and go through this way, but there are there are a lot of questions that they might answer for you. The next topic is kind of tax questions. We always receive a lot of questions about the status of grantor letters and K-1s. I'm going to pass it along to Tommy Fierro, the CFO, to answer those, to kind of go over the current plans on the tax filings.
Hi, everyone. So there's really no change on this slide as as compared to last month when we had our last presentation in June. So just overall rundown, effective August 2023, which was the confirmation date of the plan, the tax documents you receive will be in the form of grantor letters as opposed to the K-1s you received historically. Very similar documents, just different as a function of the entity structure that we operate under now. Those 2024 grantor letters will be available in early September of 2025. When you get those, please refer to page 2 of the grantor letter. It's going to have the instructions on, where you should be reporting the information on your tax returns. But as always, once you receive those documents, please discuss them with your personal tax advisor, as everyone's personal tax situation is going to be different. The 2021-2022 AARs, or amendments, as many of you refer to them as, will be completed and distributed, before year end 2025. They are not going to trigger any prior year amendments. So when you get those, they'll be reported on your 2025 returns that are going to be due at some point in 2026. If you have any questions for us, accounting related, tax related, document request related, contact us at info@nria.net. I get all of those emails and we'll make sure that someone responds to you. That's it. Turn it back over to you guys. Thank you.
All right.
The questions we received from investors, the bulk of the questions were about the distribution, which we discussed at the beginning of this. As Lewis mentioned, we had talked about getting a 5% distribution in July. We had some opportunities in place that we believed would allow us to make a larger distribution. Those opportunities did come to fruition, and so we paused slightly to make a larger distribution at the beginning of August. There's a cost associated with making a distribution, so it made sense to wait a few weeks and make a distribution that was more than twice as much as we'd originally planned, rather than make the 5% distribution and then a month later make another 7% distribution. So I apologize for the delay on that, but they're out now and you should be receiving them in the next couple of days. Please hold off. If you don't receive the check by next Monday or Tuesday, that's when you should start contacting us. We have to wait for the mail. One question we've received quite a bit is how the checks are being distributed. We are distributing the checks via mail for a very important reason. It provides a lot more accountability, a lot more tracking ability for us if we send them by mail. Checks are safer than wire transfers. If a check goes to the wrong address, we can stop payment and send out a new check. If a check is cashed by somebody fraudulently, we can have the bank investigate and basically stop payment on that and try and claw back the funds. If a wire transfer goes awry and goes into the wrong account, those funds are probably just lost. So it's very important to us to make sure that the cash goes to the people it's intended for and not to some third party. So that's why we are continuing to send checks as opposed to ACH payments or wire transfers. But Louis, you want to start going through the town hall questions?
Sure. In terms of what happened to punishing Ray Grabato, if that's, are you talking about the ones on the right?
Well, we go to the ones on the right or the ones from the registration. I'll just start going through the ones from the registration.
Yeah, why don't you do that, Mike, and then we'll jump over the others.
As Tommy just mentioned, you can expect the 2024 grantor letters now, not the K-1s, in early September. When is the next distribution? Our hope is to make another distribution by year end. I cannot say whether or not that's going to be possible. When we have cash that is available and we have sufficient runway to continue the operations of the trust, the liquidation trustee, as I'm sure Matthew can attest, is doing everything he can and it can to get that cash out to investors. But we need to ensure that the operations of the trust are continued so we can continue to pursue the real estate and the litigation, which will enable larger distributions down the road. It's not clear. If you do not receive the distribution check, one person asked about that, there will be contact information at the end of the slide presentation of who to email about that. That's also available on the Omni website. You should email me and Alexandria Lundberg and Nate Basalga, and one of us will get back to you. Can we expect a full recovery in this case? A full recovery in this case has always been very, very unlikely. We are already, I believe, above where we had originally expected to be. Where we will end up is still a matter of speculation at this point. The original projection of 25 to 35 cents in the dollar was based purely on real estate sales. I would say, you know, we have had some real estate sales, but the bulk of the real estate is still to be sold. The recoveries that have been seen to date are largely the result of litigation recoveries, not exclusively, but largely. We are hopeful that we will be able to go materially above the 25 to 35 cents of the dollar that we'd originally projected, but how much I cannot say. One person asked, can distributions be made on January 2nd instead of December 29th to allow for tax planning? We're going to try and get the distributions out when we can. We aren't going to try and time them around the year end. We have our own tax planning to think about, and it's difficult for us. So we're going to do what we can to get them out when we can. Why are distributions to date so far behind the announced recoveries? I think that question was submitted before our last distribution. We're now up to 22%. Our original projection was 25 to 35 cents, so we're almost at the bottom of that range right now with more distributions to come. So I wouldn't say we're very far behind the announced recoveries at this point. Taxes, what is taking so long for the K-1s or the grantor letters to be sent? NRIA is a complex organization. The Liquidation Trust is a very complex organization. There are 2,000 investors. There are multiple complex properties. It takes a long time with a small group to get those done. And so we have to take advantage of the extended filing period in order to get those taxes filed. I know that the NRIA team, along with Eisner, their accountants, are working diligently to make sure those are out as quickly as possible, but it simply takes time. And I understand that it's frustrating, but that's the reality in which we live. Investigation, what happened to punishing Ray Grabato? Is there any hope for full recovery here? We are doing what we can to obtain judgments against Ray Grabato. Ray Grabato, as far as I know, is still in the Philippines. With respect to any recovery, we have to be mindful of the fact that there's a cost associated with making the recovery, and there's only so much in assets you can squeeze out of somebody, no matter how much wrong they did you. So we are doing what we can to ensure that we get cash from him, but we're not going to spend more to chase him than we're going to get out of him at the end of the day. That would be, might be cathartic for everybody, but it would be a waste of everybody's money. That is the questions from the presentations. There were now questions online. There was one I wanted to answer first. It was a question about unsecured claims. Please explain why unsecured claims are paid before us. It sounds from the name they're unsecured, and hence I thought that means they have no real means to get anything. So under the plan, unsecured claims are paid before investor claims, because under the bankruptcy code, it is required that debt claims are paid before equity claims. And claims that are based on the purchase of equity, which is what the investors here purchased, the subscription agreement that all the investors signed got them an equity interest in a limited liability company. Under the bankruptcy code, those are mandatorily subordinated to debt claims. An unsecured debt claim is just somebody that you owe money to, like a vendor or a credit card bill or something like that. That would be an unsecured claim. The investor claims are equity claims, and therefore they're subordinated to the unsecured debt claims, and that's why they have to be paid out, unfortunately, before the investors can be paid out.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, if I could just bolt on to that, I mean, and it's not even just bankruptcy law, it's just a matter of corporate law. If somebody invests in a company as a shareholder, as an investor, before that shareholder can get distributions on account of its equity, you know, there has to be provision for the liabilities of the company, the trade and operations and employees, really all liabilities of the company. So if that company were to falter, all trade claims, employee claims, tax claims, any liability is going to get paid out before money flows up to an investor. That's just how waterfall works. And when people invest as an owner in an organization, you know, it's risky and there's upside and there's downside, and that's why.
Yeah, let me just also supplement that. The nature of these claims, though, are interesting. These investors also have unsecured claims. There are guarantees. So in other words, there are fraud claims. There are other claims that are not just pure investor claims, but are claims related to the loss because of the fraud in terms of the aiding and abetting fraud, the aiding and abetting securities fraud, the in some cases we have conspiracy claims. The investors also have the guarantees from NRIA that are pure, contractual guarantees. There are also, certain individuals have asserted joint venture claims, which are subordinated under the plan for distribution purposes, but are claims. So these are all claims that the trust is also pursuing on behalf of investors against third parties for recovery. So the unsecured claims we're talking about are simply because the plan provides for a treatment of them that gives them a priority payment under the plan waterfall.
They're subject to they remain claims even though they're subject to mandatory subordination. That's why, even though they are claims, they have to be subordinated behind the other claims. There's a question: if we requested a change in our mailing address and you acknowledged the change of address a few months ago, can we expect that the check is mailed to the new address? We've worked really hard. I know that Tommy and his team and Andrea and A&M and their team have worked really hard with Omni to validate the addresses as much as we can to ensure that the checks go to the right address. I can't guarantee or promise that, you know, they all went to the exact right address, that there wasn't some misrecording here or there. We did everything we could to try and make that make sure that they went out to the correct address. Again, if you don't receive your check within a week or so, though, please email us and we will confirm that to make sure that it actually did go to the correct address. What happened to Ryan Hibbard? Ryan was an associate of ours. He was very responsive. He was excellent. He had an opportunity to go somewhere else, and it was a very great opportunity for him. And we were all very happy for him that he had that opportunity, but he is obviously no longer with us. Alexandria Lundberg is the new person to contact, and she should be very responsive in terms of getting back to you to answer questions. The distributions are coming versus the mail, as I've mentioned. Copies of the slide will be posted, of these slides, along with a recording of this town hall, will be posted on the Omni website within a few days after the conclusion of this town hall. So please look there, and it'll be up as quickly as we can.
If I could just chime in with respect to one question, and I don't know where we are in the order. I think we might have skipped it, but somebody asked, are distributions coming via ACH or USPS? Michael is correct that the vast majority of distributions did go out by check for the reasons that we've explained. However, if you are invested through an organization like Madison Trust or whatnot, those are going to Madison Trust by wire and will then be distributed by that entity to your account. So if you've invested in that way, you're going to get your distribution through the means, the same means that you got it through the last time we made a distribution. If you're not invested through one of those, you'll get a check in the mail.
Correct. And the wires to the custodian accounts were just, you know, released this afternoon, with the exception of Equity Trust. We're still waiting on confirmation from them as far as making sure that everyone, you know, their account is still open. So, you know, for the Madison, Midland, Forge, Pacific Premier, they've effectively received the wires today. So you could expect over the next couple of days that they'll make those allocations to your individual accounts. But again, if you don't, you know, give us a couple of days, give us a week. And if you haven't seen it by then, you know, shoot us an email. We'll get you a confirmation or more information.
The question, the question of where can I get a copy of these slides? Again, that's on the Omni website, which is where you registered for this town hall. So if you go back to the page where you registered for this town hall, within a couple of days, the link that you used to register will be replaced with a link to the recording of the town hall and the slideshow. So it's exactly the same place that you registered. And the real estate market in Florida is saturated and not easy to sell. I'm sure that Rick can aim into that. Are we adequately insured on the marina property while it is in our possession? I will defer to Rick on that question.
Well, we're in construction now at the marina, as we discussed earlier. So we have what they call builder's risk insurance, which is in place and actually provided by our GC Bellingham Marine. So it's included in our total construction package. After the marine is finished, then we will put in place our own insurance. But we've not priced that yet, as insurance is always quite dynamic. So as we get closer to completion next year, we will know what that will be.
The next the next question is really for Rick as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't we dive a little bit deeper into the weeds on this one? Team, the Fed is cutting rates in September, although not directly related to construction related money. It will help with downward pressure on development loan rates. This could make our properties far better to build, develop. I know lower is better, LOL. How much lower are you looking for to be able to develop all of our properties for maximum investment recovery or maybe even profit? Are we only a quarter point away or a full point away? Thoughts?
Well, it's not really that that finite an analysis. So if you look at the portfolio, your portfolio, right? So we have been building. So we finished 4901 Bergen Line. We finished the Grand. We're in construction on the Metro. We're building the marina. We're doing construction work, land work in Philadelphia. So it doesn't stop us, but it just makes us more selective, is what I would say. So the lower the rates, the more flexibility we'll have, but we're not waiting, you know, for rates, because obviously we can't predict it. But we do know, as you mentioned, it'll be an immense positive if we start to get a rate decline.
Whatever happened to certain claims where there could be treble damages, are they going on? And when might we hear anything on these claims, since they could be huge in recoveries? So we have asserted a couple of RICO claims in certain litigation. RICO, the racketeering statute, basically under federal law and under New Jersey state law, does allow for treble damages. But it's important to keep in mind that, you know, if somebody has a claim for $100 million and you treble it, but they only have $30 million, you're only getting $30 million. The limiting factor is not the amount of the claim of damages, but how much money they have. So in most instances, the RICO claim gives us a lot of flexibility. It gives us a lot of power in terms of discovery rights, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we are going to recover 3 times the damages. I don't think there's much more to that. Will investors see any funds from the lawsuits? Yes, absolutely. Investors have already seen funds from the lawsuits. The lawsuits that we are pursuing are all actions that we have assessed. We've assessed both on the strength of the claim, the cost of pursuing the claim, and the likely recovery on the claim. And we've determined, the liquidation trustee in its judgment has determined, are likely to be profitable for the estate. we are not pursuing actions that we do not believe are going to be likely are going to be profitable for the estate. That is an ongoing process to continue to assess, but the whole purpose of pursuing the lawsuits is to recover funds from for investors. So
I think it's important to recognize that the last distribution by way of example was largely possible because of the litigation recoveries. So that is a direct answer to your question that the litigation recoveries are generating a lot of these distributions, but not all of them, but a large chunk of it. And more is to come though from the real estate sales, certainly, and as well as additional litigation recoveries.
We have a question. As you just gave us the real estate update and the litigation update, the $1 billion question is, when will all of this be behind us? What year? I wish I could give you a estimate and tell you with any sort of certainty what year this will be over. Again, we are exercising the liquidation trustee and the wind down and Rick, the wind down CEO, they're exercising their business judgment on what's going to maximize the value for investors. And sometimes it makes sense to take a little bit more time to develop a property if the time value of the money is going to be greater than just selling it as is. With the advice of the Liquidation Trust Advisory Board, we're going forward to develop this real estate, and we're working to get this resolved as quickly as we can while maximizing recoveries for investors. So that takes time. I understand that this has been very difficult for everybody and it's required a great deal of patience, and we very much appreciate that as we continue to work towards maximizing that recovery.
Yeah, I mean, if I could just follow up on that, you know, picture that these lawsuits, some of which are for tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, some of them settle, some of them don't, some of them go into protracted litigation over the course of, you know, many, many months, if not years and years. So I'm not going to get into strategy or settlement strategy on these litigation matters. But some litigation does go on for a very long time. Now, if the question is, how long and when can we be done with this? Well, we could drop the lawsuit and be done with it tomorrow, but it would be leaving money on the table. As another example, you know, Rick presented a real estate projection of building two buildings in Fort Lauderdale that are projected to be the tallest buildings in Fort Lauderdale, 48-story buildings that we're going to sell for millions and tens of millions of dollars. We don't have to do that. We could just cease development of that property and sell the dirt and be done. So we could be done as quickly as people want, but you know that would have a tremendously negative impact on investor recovery. And everything that we do, every decision that we make, both on the litigation side and the real estate side, is in an effort to maximize value for investors. And I can fully appreciate that investors want to be done with the headache, but the headaches and inconveniences are well worth it, in return for which there's going to be more and more recoveries. We're at 22% now, the plan projected 25 to 35%. We're only 2 years into this. And I say only, and that probably gives some people angst to hear the word only, but the trust is going to go on for a long time. The litigation, certainly the real estate, is going to take years, but it's going to be worth it. And the investor recovery will be well in excess of the 25 to 35% of the plan. I have no problem saying that at all, well in excess of that. And there will be many distributions left to be made. Will they be before now and the end of the year? I don't know. Hopefully so, maybe not. But there will be many more distributions of sizable amounts. So, you know, that's, you have to look at it in the context, the overall context of timing versus headaches and inconvenience. And I would just plead with investors to do that. So sorry to kind of go off on a tangent there, Michael, but I think it's important to look at it in that context.
Absolutely. The next question, is it too late to file a restitution claim in the criminal proceedings against Dirtbag Salzano and Dirtbag Scutaro? those are interesting nicknames. I do not know if it is too late. Again, we are not involved in the restitution action. You can contact Shirley Stryker. I'll put her contact information up while we're talking here. You can contact her and determine, see if it is too late. Again, I do not expect, and again, I don't have that much information, but we've been pursuing the same people they're pursuing. I do not believe that they are going, that they are expected to recover much. I think we are going to be the main vehicle for recoveries. So I don't know if it's too late, and I don't know, you know, what they expect to recover. Is the construction settlement, the U.S. construction settlement, expected to bring down the $54 million general unsecured creditor number from the report a lot. It should bring it down substantially, at least $32 million, if not the full $55 million or whatever. I will have to see how it flows through on the balance sheet as we do our financial reporting. Have you made sure that you've updated bank information for Madison Trust? Their bank has changed recently. I know that before we made these wire transfers, before we make any wire transfers, frankly, I know Tommy has someone on his team call up the recipient of the wire transfer to verify that we have the accurate wire transfer information. And so the wire transfer is not going awry. It's part of the reason why that process takes so long. It would take a lot longer than sending out the checks. So yes, we have been in contact with Madison Trust and
yeah,
we are sending it to the right account.
Right. We are aware of that bank change. Thank you to the investor who brought that to our attention. But yes, we did confirm with them and they've received the money this afternoon.
If we have a question, read the amount, who do we contact? If you're talking about the amount of your distribution or the amount that your claim has been allowed at, here is the page with my email address and the email addresses of Nate Pasalga and Alexandria Lundberg. Please email all three of us and one of us will get back to you with a response. And we can walk you through the amount of your contributing investor claim, how that amount was arrived at. At this stage, we've made several distributions, the claims have been allowed now for over a year. There is no avenue to revise or amend or change the amount of the allowed claim, but we can at least explain to you how we arrived at it. If you need an answer to a specific question, please email not the info.com address. Please email all three of us on this email address and we will try and get you as specific an answer as we can. Being mindful of the fact that a lot of the information is, the trust has a lot of information that it needs to keep close to its chest to ensure confidentiality.
Yeah, to be clear for the record here, and I don't want people to be misled, somebody in the question mentioned an info.com address. Info.com is a domain name that has nothing to do with NRIA. Don't email anything to an info.com address. Okay. If you have questions, email the addresses on the screen. So I don't know who's emailing anything to info.com, but that's not us.
I believe there is an info@nria.com address. If it's something like that, again, you should email.
Let's get started.
info@nria.net is our general inquiry box for the management team.
Yeah. I've called your office. If you've email is the best way to reach us. It's the best way for us to get back to you. We are often quite busy during the day. It's hard to take phone calls. We will try and call you back as soon as we can, but you'll probably get a much quicker response with an email than you would with a phone call. Do we get all the proceeds from the real estate? Rick, I'll pass that on to you.
Well, I'll answer it the way I hear it. So real estate sales, we get all of the proceeds. All of our money, as mentioned before by Lewis, is commingled. So we have, one treasury, and ultimately at the end of the day, Matthew decides and makes recommendations as to distributions. But that's taking into account, as we've also said before, some of that money is redeployed. It's certainly redeployed into real estate assets. It's redeployed into professional fees to support the litigations. So 100% of the proceeds don't get distributed, you can trust that we do get 100% of the proceeds of every real estate transaction.
I've answered the question, where can we get a copy of these slides? Again, the Omni website. Michael, what would be the reason why it works for the trust to distribute in December versus January? For us, it would be better to get it in early January, shouldn't our needs be a priority? While it might be better for you to get the distribution in January, we can't say that it's better for every investor to get the distribution in January versus get it in December. We represent the liquidation trust. The liquidation trust beneficiaries all have various different tax filing needs. We do not represent any of the investors personally, and we can't look out for one investor's needs over the others. So what we're doing is we're trying to maximize the distributions we make, and make them when we believe it makes the most sense to make them. We can't basically, take into account all the individual investors' specific tax needs in terms of what is advantageous in terms of whether it's distributed in January of 2026 versus December of 2025.
Yeah, and Michael, I was answering some questions, so I was probably repeating what you just said, but just to understand, there's almost 2,000 investors out there. So for every investor that says they would prefer money to be pushed off to January for tax reasons, there's another investor that says, give me my money as soon as possible. So, you can't please everybody.
When discussing the latest distribution, you use two terms that are confusing. Could you please clarify what percentage is a full recovery? Thank you. So I think when we use full recovery, what that generally means in the bankruptcy parlance is basically 100 cents of the dollar would be a full recovery. To the extent that we've said, a full recovery, I think it's exceedingly unlikely that we will get to a place where there is a full recovery where investors are paid out 100 cents of the dollar on their claims. A full recovery does not mean paid out in full on your claims plus all the guaranteed returns that NRIA was signing off or anything like that. We are working to maximize recoveries in this case. Wherever we end up, we believe, as Matthew said earlier, we will be far in excess of the 25 to 35 cents of the dollar that we originally projected. Where we actually end up is really anybody's guess at this point, given the time that it takes to get there and the the economy, the interest rates, the litigation. There are a lot of moving parts that will contribute to what recovery we end up with. Question, I assume the distributions to IRA custodians will be deposited this week. As Tommy mentioned, the wire transfers to the IRA custodians went out today, so they should be in your account within the next several days, depending upon whatever your arrangement is with your trust custodian and how long it takes for them to get the funds into their account. The reason we sent wire transfers to the trust custodians is because in some cases they have 15 to 220 investors who are receiving distributions who they hold the distributions for. And so in that case, especially because it's a professional on the other end who we can work with, it makes sense to send wire transfers versus checks. But I believe with the first distribution, the trust custodians, as far as I heard, were good about getting the distributions distributed to the accounts quickly. But again, that is between you and your trust custodian, not something that we can control. Is the 12% based on the original amount, or is that amount less the last distribution? So 12% is based on the original principal amount of the claims. So there were roughly $500 million of investor claim, contributing investor claims, all investor claims under the plan. 12% is 12% of that $500 million amount. So the 5% plus the original 10% plus the 12% gets us to 22% total. So the 12% you will get is based off of about a $500 million principal amount. And so it's around $60 million that went out, which comes out to about 12% per investor.
Yeah, just to be clear, Michael, I read the question slightly differently. I don't know what the intent of the question was, but if the question is, we already got 5% at the end of last year, and so to get to 12, we're now getting another 7%. That's not the case. You got your 5% at the end of last year. You're getting an additional, 10% at the end of last year. You're getting an additional 12% now for a total of 22%. So it's not, crediting the prior distribution and now we're adding a little more. It's each distribution, when we announce a percentage, is the percentage of the allowed claim amount. And this week's is 12%.
I'm trying to go back through the questions to make sure I didn't miss any accidentally. Broadly, what is the total anticipated dollars expected for recoveries from litigation, real estate, et cetera? At this stage, that's speculative. I can't say what it is. And again, we have people on the phone call that are potentially adversaries in litigation. So we're not going to speculate as to how much we expect to receive in litigations on this phone call.
Yeah, but I mean, understand, pretty soon we're going to be to the low end of what we projected under the plan, which was 25 to 35%. We're now at 22%. And we still have major litigation out there. And we haven't even sold Bergen Line, the Grand, the Metro, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, the Marina, Philadelphia. So, you know, we've got a lot more to do, and that's going to lead to a lot more money.
Yeah. And I think this next question is a clarification of the earlier question. When discussing the latest distribution, you stated that you were expecting a full recovery. Does that mean 25 to 35%, or does it mean something else that is important? Thank you. I think there might have been some confusion when we were talking about full recovery, if we meant 25 to 35 cents of the dollar. We think we'll be well in excess of the 25 to 35 cents of the dollar that we'd originally projected. That would not be a full recovery as we would use it. A full recovery would be payment in full of everybody. We believe we will, it's unlikely we will recover that much, but we do expect to greatly exceed or to exceed the 25 to 35 cents of the dollar. I talked to Shirley Stryker, and this is her response regarding restitution. There is no claims process. Salzano was sentenced to 12 years in prison and was ordered to pay restitution to victims and to the IRS. I'm assuming that no money will be collected by the clerk's office from him until he is released from prison, if then. The judgment of conviction lists the victims, no need to file a claim. That speaks to a slightly broader point in this case. You know, you can put somebody behind bars, but they can't work for you to make back the amount of money that they stole from you. So, you know, for Salzano, it is great that he's in prison for 12 years and is serving his time for the crimes that he committed against you all. The fact that he's in prison means that he's not earning back money that he could then use to pay you. So that's the trade-off in that sense. Can you revise the 25 to 35 cents to update information? We will consider that, but I don't believe we have anything other than a speculative means for coming up with a new estimate at this stage. So I don't think we're likely to do that.
Mike, have you answered the EB-5 question?
I haven't gotten to the EB-5 question yet. Okay. when will the trustee add the EB and 5 investors to the contribution list? Lewis, do you want to answer this question?
Sure. There's an ongoing settlement with with Mona Shaw. Those are the certain of the EB-5 investors are in fact through Mona Shaw are in fact contributing investors. The settlement with Mona Shaw has to be signed. I would encourage you to speak to Mona and get her lawyer to sign the document and return it. And then the process will begin for those investors to become that aren't contributing investors to become contributing investors. And then we will be done.
I believe the last question on the list, and thank you there have been several people who had compliments. We very much appreciate it. Can you clarify about equity trust? Tommy, you had mentioned before that you haven't been able to get a hold of them, or what's happening there?
Yeah, so generally what we do before we release a wire to a custodian, in addition to verifying the wire instructions, is we make sure that any investor who had a custodian account with that entity has not closed their account. Otherwise, we'd be sending money that otherwise, you know, remains in limbo. So we sent them a list of, hey, we believe that you have these, for example, 20 investors are still active with you. Can you please confirm? And after two follow-ups, we have not heard back from them yet. So we're, you know, it's only been, the second follow-up was this afternoon. So I imagine they'll get back to us relatively quickly and then those wires can go out. But if you are an investor who is invested with Equity Trust and you have a contact there that you'd like to ping and say, I understand AIRN is attempting to release me a wire. Can you respond to them? You know, feel free to push them on your end as well.
I know that the trust custodians have various internal policies as how they handle distributions received for closed accounts. Some trust custodians will actually take on the work of tracking down the closed account holder to send them the amounts that are distributed to them. Other trust custodians will not. So that's part of the reason why we have to go through this process of confirming, just to make sure that we're not sending funds that we're then going to have to try and get back from Equity Trust later on down the road. Another question, when is the next town hall meeting? As you can see on the screen, the next town hall meeting will be Wednesday, October 8th at 5 p.m. Generally, we've been having these town halls since we were still representing the creditors committee back before the plan was confirmed. We've been having them on the second Tuesday, second Wednesday of every other month at 5 p.m. Eastern. We will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. So that is when the next town hall will be. If you have not yet registered, you can do so on the Omni website, where you, the exact same place you registered for this town hall. And last, I think this is the last question. Did you say checks were already mailed? Checks were mailed on Monday. So again, if, give it a week or so. If you still haven't received your check within a week or so, please reach out to us and we will track down what happened to it. So yes, they should be, you should be receiving them shortly. I believe that is the last question. So unless there are any other questions that come across, I believe we are complete.
I think Luke, Matthew, do you want
to have a closing statement?
Yeah.
I think I've kind of made my statement throughout this. I will just say, Michael said that we will continue doing these on a bi-monthly basis, and we are totally willing and able to continue doing that. I think actually under the plan, after 2 years, they are supposed to move from every 2 months to every 3 months. If these are inconvenient to attend and take too much time, and investors would prefer these to be every 3 months, you know, maybe you can let us know through the comment section during the next town hall meeting. Absent hearing from, I would say, a near unanimous position that we should move to 3 months, we will continue to do them every 2 months, because we want to be transparent and open with you guys as investors for whom we are working. So, but just think about that, because I know they are long. This went an hour and 15 minutes, and we appreciate your patience through it. So yeah, real estate is going well. Litigation is going well. We're getting money out the door. We're going to continue doing it over the course of, you know, the months and years ahead. And we're, you know, as I say, every time, we're doing everything that we can to maximize your return. So, and, you know, we're open to hearing from you. If you have suggestions or comments, certainly feel free to reach out.
All right. Well, that, I think that's concludes this town hall. So thank you everyone very much for participating. Hopefully we address your questions and we'll keep you posted on new developments. Thank you.